Hallelujah. Welcome. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's get official. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Amen. Yeah. Things are happening. They're happening in your life. They should be. Things are happening all over. Shaking, quaking, awakening. All kinds of things. Again, we are in a time. We've been doing a series called The Beginning of the End. You know, Friday night was very powerful here. And it was the Father's love, but it was an area of transparency. I mean, I totally felt transparent. When I was seeing, we were infiltrating the glory realm, and we're going to talk about that at another time. But in that area where you could see God's rain coming down, and it was actually going through us. It wasn't like bouncing off. It was going through us. And it was a cleansing rain of purity and love. And you just feel the Father's love in an awesome way. And you know, one of the things that we sing that song, Lovers of His Presence. See, if you're not a lover of His presence, you're a lover of some other presence. And your presence and my presence is not God's presence. It's God's presence that keeps and grants us the strength and ability and power through the anointing of Christ, they have dominion over ourselves and over the sway of the wicked one. In Ephesians chapter 1, if you'll turn there, please. In verse 13, can everybody hear me? Can anybody hear me? Okay. In verse 13, is everybody there? Let's speak this together, okay? In him you also trusted after you heard the word of what? Truth. Truth. Everyone say truth. If it's not truth, it's what? It's a lie. So he said, you trusted after you heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, because the Holy Spirit of promise is called the Spirit of truth, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Verse 15, therefore I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, there are still believers who don't have this. Now, verse 18 is essential. Would you read it with me? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now, in this, he's talking about in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, there are invisible enemies. Everybody got it? There's invisible enemies. There are dimensional, interdimensional, multidimensional beings that are invisible enemies. And he's saying that your eyes may be open, that your eyes of understanding may be open. In other words, we are going to have understanding. We must get understanding of the unseen realm and that there are invisible enemies. And these invisible enemies, their whole focus is to keep me and you blinded in deception. Their weapon is deception. We've talked about this before. You know, people heard me share this Friday night, but I was in jail Friday. I went to visit, and we were doing a class there, and one of the things that were so emphasized with the Holy Spirit, because he is the Spirit of truth, and I was talking to about 60 men that were in an addiction program, and he said to me, tell them their problem is an addiction. It's deception. See, we're going through all kinds of stuff. Our problem is not addiction. It's not lust, even though the enemy uses it. It's deception. We are so easily moved and deceived. And he says, see, so our eyes of understanding is to have the eyes, the understanding that there are invisible enemies, and these invisible enemies carry deception. They are carriers of deception. And their whole focus is to keep you in a place of deception so that you cannot fulfill the will of God. Is everybody okay? And Proverbs 17. Invisible enemies, carriers of what? Deception. I am pressed in such an arena that the Lord's heart seems to be screaming, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they are deceived. Why are you not seeing? Remember, he wept when he went to Jerusalem because they didn't know he was there. They missed his visitation. They were deceived. They were so caught up. Doesn't the word tell us about the seed that was planted? Amen? In three areas. And one of them was the cares of the world. One of them was, it says that, you know, you get it quickly, but then it's not planted in solid ground. Or the enemy comes and steals the seed. See, we even allow the enemy to steal seed. I don't care how long you've been a believer. Length of time of a believer has nothing to do, because you could be deceived all of that time. All that time. Where there's not victory, where there's not obedience, there's deception. The reason why we get deceived, the reason why we get caught up in stuff, the reason why we backslide, the reason why we do things out of God's time, the reason why we do everything that is displeasing to God is because we are deceived. That's that. You can't blame anyone. I can't blame anyone. We have no excuse. That's why God left his Holy Spirit, who guides us to all truth, and his word. He left us the weapons of his name, his word, and his blood, and the keys to bind and loose, so that we could be first strikers. And if you're not in the battle, you will become a casualty. Guaranteed. In Proverbs 17, is everybody there? You cannot run around going, I don't understand. You need to get understanding. You need to get the one most important understanding is that there are invisible enemies that carry the weapon of deception. If you can't hold on to that in every area of your life, you will be easily deceived. No matter what's going on, what's impressing you, this must be a constant revelation to me and you that wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we think, and whatever we say, that there are invisible enemies and their weapon and carriers of deception that want to keep us in a state where we are not effective. Amen? 17:24. 17:24. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has what? Has what? Understanding. What do they need to understand? That there's what? Invisible enemies of and carriers of deception. But the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the what? Earth or the natural realm. See, when your eyes are all upon you, you're deceived. You can say all the right words and still do the wrong things. You can have good intentions and still make the wrong decision, because deception is always knocking on our door. Always. It's our responsibility to have understanding of the unseen enemy called deception. That's our enemy. There are carriers, yes, there are invisible spirits, there are demonic forces, there's demons, there's all kinds of things. But our enemy is deception. In Ephesians 2. Again, the main course of the enemy is to do is keep you hidden from him. He doesn't want you to know that he's there. And he doesn't want you to do, again, these three areas is abide. He does not want you to abide. If he can prevent you from breaking, and I'm going to call it the trinity of abiding, that's abide as a personal abidance with in relationship. So you're abiding with him in prayer and the word of God. You're abiding in his presence through worship, and you're abiding in a corporate level of fellowship. If he can break any one of those, you're deceived. Well, I just don't believe that. You can't. You won't believe it because you believe deception instead of the truth. Is everybody all right? Ephesians 2, verse 1, glory. Let's speak it together. And it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air. Can you see air? But it's there. He gives the definition of it. The Spirit who what? Now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. Why? Listen, if you're deceived, are you going to be obedient? No, you're going to be what? Disobedient. See, we've got to stop justifying and start recognizing. Without knowing that deception is everywhere, we will be easily deceived. The Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, verse 3, among whom also we what? All once conduct ourselves in the what? In the lust of our flesh. So what was he doing? He was deceiving us in the lust of our flesh. That was me, myself, and I syndrome. The I syndrome. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the what? Of the mind. And we're by nature children of what? Wrath. Wrath. Wrath from who? Wrath of God. See, if the enemy can keep you in a deceptive state of being, you begin to serve darkness, which will eventually, and God always tries to make a way of escape for us, but the end result will be the wrath of God. Remember this, that Jesus came as the anointed one and his anointing. The anointing is carried by the Holy Spirit, the eternal presence, power, and truth. The purpose of the anointing in our life is to make a way of escape from deception and the wrath of God. It says, we're by nature children of wrath just as the others, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Again, grace is God's plan to escape. It isn't some mystical, religious, goofy thing. I'm saved by grace. Well, what is grace? Oh, it's just God's unmerited favor. His unmerited favor was to choose you. So everybody got it. It was unmerited. In other words, here it is, his unmerited favor. You and I couldn't do anything to get saved. He said, here it is. Here it is. You and I couldn't do anything. The only thing that we can do is accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and follow. Because the word believe means to what? Follow. So grace is God's plan to escape deception and the wrath of God. So everybody got it. Grace. I'm so tired of hearing this foolish, mystical thing of grace when it's God's plan. I'm saved by grace. Yes, but are you doing God's plan? Though even the Bible says that. Only those who do the will of God will enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you're doing the will of God, you're in grace. If you're not doing the will of God, you're not in grace. In fact, you usually break covenant. And he's a covenant-keeping God, isn't he? Amen? Is everybody okay? Good. Let's go a little further. Hallelujah. What verse are we on? 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. And where? Christ, that means dominion. You're in heavenly places because you have dominion. You've been granted authority and dominion. But if you're not submitting to authority, you have none. That's why God says submit to God and resist the devil. Is submitting to God deception? No. Submit to God to resist the devil. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his what? Workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? That we should what? That we should what? Does that take cooperation? Yes, it takes cooperation. So grace is associated with cooperation, isn't it? Again, it's not some mystical thing. Has everybody got it? When you repented, was that God's will? It's a part of God's plan, isn't it? Grace. Repent, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And when you blow it, repent and stay in position. Isn't that God's plan? Amen. So if you're a believer and somebody asks you, well, you know, when's the last time you asked God's forgiveness? Oh, about 3 years ago. Well, then there is no relationship because we repent every single day. But it says, by grace I've been saved. Yes, but grace is God's plan. It's his plan for you and I to stay clean and pure, that we're blemish free. And that can only be done through the blood of Christ and by abiding in the will of God and doing the will of God. In Ephesians 6. Why? Because there are invisible enemies with weapons of deception to prevent you from knowing the true meaning of grace. They're called religious spirits. These are spirits. They're religious. They have all kinds of stuff. You know, you got to think about it. When the Lord showed up to the disciples, did he say, believe me or follow me? Amen. There's a sure example, isn't it? Follow me. And then what did he say to them? Come and what? Learn from me. See, that's grace. It says Jesus came in the fullness of grace and truth. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, and we all know this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Those are unseen enemies, aren't they? They are dimensional, multidimensional, interdimensional beings that are invisible enemies and can only keep themselves invisible to mankind by keeping mankind in deception. Amen? You know, there are places you start speaking, you just say the word devil. Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. You'll stir them up. Don't say that. You might get mad. Don't expose them. Are you a Christian? Yes. When's the last time you read the word of God? When's the last time you prayed? That's fear. The Bible says, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. If we're not looking in that arena, we're not living from the future, we're living from the past, and we're in deception, and the enemy's got a dog tag around us that says fear and deception. And you will not fulfill the will of God. It's impossible. You can't do it in fear. 2 Corinthians 4. Invisible enemies. Everybody say invisible enemies. You know, there's a couple great movies out. There's one of them called Invisible Enemies. There's another one called He Lives, but make sure you get it from us because it's edited. There's some, it's a secular flick. But it's very explosive in the area of invisible enemies. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. For our what? Our light affliction, which is but for a what? A moment. Is working for us a what? Far more an exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we've got to have these eyes of understanding so we can see the unseen. Our afflictions are from the invisible enemies that use deception to promote their cause. Deception. Deception is the problem. It's the problem of everything. In John 8, John chapter 8, verse 39, and they answered and said to Jesus, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. So they were seeking to kill Jesus, weren't they? Amen? Because they were what? Deceived. Do you do the deeds? You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We are one. We have one father, God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. You would love me. See, they didn't even know God was standing in front of them. It was all written in the scriptures because they were deceived in even understanding the scriptures. There was not the understanding. He said, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. In verse 43. Why do you what? Not what? Not understand. Their eyes of understanding were not opened. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the what? The devil. The desires of your father you want to do. He was a what? Murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, he was saying this to the Pharisees who were carrying the Torah. Does everybody understand that? They were to be the ones that were to decree the truth. Yet they didn't know it themselves. Only a few of them did. They were deceived. They got caught up in religion by that religious spirit. Can quote scripture but can't obey it. Not understanding because the eyes were not open to understanding of truth, that the enemy of deception, the invisible enemies, had got them caught up and kept them blinded. The father of the devil, invisible enemies, devil, the word devil, is, did you ever notice if you take the D out, it's evil? Devil. The devil is a ruler of evil. He's the foe of God. He's the master of deception and his kingdom. In 2 John verse 7, 2 John verse 7, we see the invisible enemies have not only infiltrated, but have infiltrated people's bodies, minds, and will. And they are doing things that they don't care anymore. They've come out right out in front. They could care less. They know their time is short. We're seeing things happen in our country and globally. We're seeing lies. And we're seeing hatred. We're seeing manipulation. We're seeing selfishness. And even from believers that are putting themselves before the will of God. 2 John 7. Let's speak it together. For many what? Deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Why? Because many our believers are falling back. There's many people that have fallen, believers, fallen out, gone right in because of the deception. Verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his what? In his evil deeds. Shares in his evil deeds. There are many deceivers. They are servants of deception. Everyone say servants of deception. Now listen, there are many of them that are servants of deception that don't know they're serving deception. Remember, deception doesn't want you to know that it's there. So it's going to get you to serve them without even knowing it. You're going to do things thinking that it's right because you're going to use the excuse that God knows your heart. Oh, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. The thing is we don't. The Bible says that the heart is the most deceitful thing. Well, I just believe this is okay. See, you can convince yourself that it's okay. Anyone can convince. Their desires, our desires can speak louder than the voice of God. We can believe everything is okay, and God knows. Yes, God knows. Yeah, he knows all right. But the end result is, are you earning the trust of God or losing it? Because if you're losing the trust of God, then you're in deception. And you may not know it. But some people are waiting for all kinds of things to happen. Listen, anybody can go to work 60 hours a week and make money. Amen? That doesn't mean you're in God's favor. It doesn't mean that God's blessing you. So very okay. I mean, even the heathens go to work all week long and make big money. That doesn't mean God is blessing them. It doesn't mean they have God's favor. Amen? See, the blessing of the Lord is to know him. That's the greatest blessing you can have. Is to know him and to walk in his presence and to obey him. In 1 John chapter 3, invisible enemies. Is everybody there? In verse 7, would you read it with me? Let's start at verse 6. Let's speak it. Whoever what? Abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, it's still going on, isn't it? The body of Christ is still here. We're still destroying the works of the enemy. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So when people fall into deception, they're no longer practicing righteousness, they're practicing selfishness. Again, you're either practicing righteousness or selfishness. Listen, anybody can fall from one state to another very quickly. And if you don't come out of that state quickly, you'll stay there. That's why you repent and get out of there. Deception keeps a person in the presence of evil, known as the sin. Sin is the presence of evil. So when we are deceived, we fall in the presence of evil and walk away from the presence of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, and it says, and we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God does what? Keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Where does he keep himself? He keeps himself in a place where his eyes have understanding. They're open. He knows. He knows that deception is around everywhere. You know, I've had people tell me, well, you think there's a devil around every corner? And I say, yes, and I'm speaking to one right now. Remember who rules the earth? Satan's kingdom. There are millions of demons all over. There are demonic forces. We are being influenced by the unclean demonic realm. There are lords of seduction, invisible enemies. They seduce people. Verse 19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies what? Under the sway of the wicked one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us a what? A what? An understanding. So what? That we can understand that there's an invisible enemy that carries deception. And his weapon is deception. And has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from what? Idols. Is idols deception? Amen. Hallelujah. Giving us an understanding, spiritual eyes to discern deception. Without constant renewal of this, the invisible enemy of deception, we will get caught up in it again. We must constantly renew ourselves in this. In Acts 17. And you know, if you don't have a prayer life, you won't be constantly renewed. If you're not in fellowship, you won't be constantly renewed. If you're not worshiping, you won't be constantly renewed. That means to be renewed means bring to remembrance. In Acts 17. Hallelujah. And Paul was in a region and he found these individuals that were worshiping. And they were worshiping all these idols, and they found an altar that had no name. And in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are what? Very what? Religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Now, who was preventing them of not knowing the unknown God? Deception. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. Oh, religion has its way, I'm telling you. That was Satan's one of great accomplishments, getting people to worship things. Even this Allah thing. Muhammad was an individual who worshiped 600 idols and chose Allah to be the main one. And that's how that whole thing started. We're not going to get into that. And did it produce love? No, it produced hatred. Verse 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, or though he needed anything, since he gives to all life breath in all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are the what? Also his offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Because he has appointed a day of which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So we see here that they were worshiping the unknown God. Religious deception and false doctrines, myths. Think about all the things that we've been told when we were kids. You know, some kids are still putting their tooth underneath their pillow, calling, waiting for the tooth fairy. Some kids are still being told that Santa Claus is real. Oh, it's just a kid thing. Let me tell you, Disneyland is true. Disney makes you dizzy. It is a land of deception. Now, you can go there and have fun without getting caught up. But think about all of these fairy tales. Look at the movie E.T. You know how many kids are inviting demons in their bedroom now? Man, we were watching a video. It was powerful because we've been doing some research on all kinds of demonic forces. And there was a doll in this child's bedroom. And they kept saying that this house was something wrong with it. And it was in this rocking chair. And they videoed this thing for like 24 hours all night long. And the doll's hands began to move. It was like, whoa, you know? And these are demonic forces. When I was in prison and I met a gentleman, and I really didn't know the Lord, and he used to do all kinds of stuff and practice witchcraft. And I'll never forget one day he was outside of my cell, and he was speaking something. And he said, watch this. And I was like, what? And he was saying something weird and whatever. Next thing I know, something. Now, he's outside of my cell, and there's bars between us, and he's talking to me because he was like a trustee or something. And next thing I know, something that was on my metal table was moving. And I said, whoa, I want to do that. What did I know? I didn't know the invisible enemy of deception. I thought he had some magical power. It was nothing but a demon in there moving it. Deceiving me. Boy, did I have to break all that stuff off after I... This was all B.C. now. But after A.D., boy, I had to break all that stuff off, man. All the things that was involved in witchcraft, all the things that were carried down my family line, things that were still practiced in our family, you know, soothsayers, Ouija boards, and all that other stuff. But I'll tell you what, God is good and faithful. He gives us that opportunity to get things right. In Luke chapter 10, and Jesus sent out the disciples, and there was actually about 72 of them. And in verse 17 it says, and then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now look at verse 19. What does he say? Behold, I give you the authority to what? Trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now listen, he is not talking about these physical animals. Not that we don't have dominion over them. These are demonic invisible forces, serpents, scorpions. Man, I've seen some wild demonic individuals in the spirit realm. Some of them came and visit me. I've had to battle some. There were some that were choking me. Thank God my wife was there with me because she was commanding them to come off of me. You know, they always attack you when you first get saved, you know, big time. He says, I've given you all power over the enemy, and nothing shall by means any hurt you. Now, again, they can't hurt you. The only thing they can do is what? Deceive you. So if they can deceive you, can you get hurt? Yes. You know, think about sickness and disease. You don't really see it, but you see the result of it, you know? So even though it's not visible to the naked eye with all of one of those scope things, it's still there. You know, we have this tendency to just, in the natural realm, walk in the arena that whatever we see is all that's there. We don't want to see what's the unseen. But the Lord says, you need to have the eyes of understanding so that you understand that there's an invisible enemy that is a carrier of deception. And that's what he utilizes against God's people and against the world. There is a society of invisible enemies. There's a society of deception. We're supposed to be the society of light to express and carry truth. We're not to be religious. We're not to walk in fear. We're not to allow the enemy to use us to serve. We're not to be servants of deception. We're to be stewards of the Most High God. We're to be servants to the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Invisible enemies. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says what? In the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? deceiving spirits and doctrines of what? Demons. Again, there are seductive lords. They're seductive. They are taking people out of position because of their deception. You know, think about, again, what the enemy does with even clothing. Sets the trends of all kinds of stuff. Now, you may ask who dressed me today, but praise be to God. I'll blame it on my wife. No. But these deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, in other words, these religious arenas, there's doctrines. Remember, we just read that don't accept any other doctrine that comes to you. These are Lord seductions. They're secular. Look at secular education again. Secular education does not promote God. It promotes self, invisible enemies. Again, the invisible society that carries deception down generational family lines. And the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 3, let's speak it together. Let no one deceive you by any means that for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the son and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. We are seeing the falling away. It's already been going on. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And we are the ones who are restraining the presence of God in the body of Christ. In verse 8, would you read it with me? And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be what? That they might be saved. And we're seeing that happen all over. And Galatians 5. Galatians 5. In verse, is everybody there? Galatians chapter 5? I think that's Galatians 5. Yeah. Verse 16, let's speak it together. I say then what? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or that you desire. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like it, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they've been brought under deception, and they are now doing the will of, they're serving deception. They are now servants of deception, doing the will of the enemy and not doing the will of God. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. In other words, we must stay in the Spirit. One of the things the enemy wants to always do is deceive us to get us out of God's presence, out of the Spirit. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. And I want to close in Hebrews 10. Invisible enemies. Glory. Is everybody okay? Did you get it? Man, we got to get it. We got to. Vitally important. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I mean, you know, there it is. Just get in. Run to your Father in heaven. By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from any evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we see here that, you know, we've got to get into God's presence. Don't let the enemy deceive you from not fellowshipping. Don't let the enemy deceive you and compromise you in the area that you don't have enough time to pray. Don't let the enemy deceive you in the area where of selfishness or lust, desires. Don't let them deceive you. Remember, it's an invisible enemy. Their weapon is deception, and it's so easily to fall into it. So easily. It's one breath away, one agreement away. That's all it is. And if you don't come out of it quick, you'll stay in it. You'll try to justify for why you do what you do. You'll try to reason it. You'll even try and find excuses for it. It's time to come out of it and get right with the Lord in every area. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed be protected by the blood of Christ, that it grow and bear fruit for your glory. I want to thank you for everyone here, Lord, and all the those who are listening and watching. And for further information and teachings, you can go to eternallibrary.org, and you can learn so you don't get burned. And to God be the glory. Everybody said amen.